Hey guys, so Tavis, I just saw a very fascinating Chassam Sofer, and I thought it might be worth sharing with you as well. We know this week is Sobe Tavis on Tuesday. There is a very interesting mission in Megillah that tells us that all the Tanesim, all the minor Tanesim, are pushed off, and we don't fast on the minor Tanesim if they fall on Shabbos. Mission in Megillah, right? If some Gedalia falls on Shabbos, we won't fast on Shabbos. It's going to be pushed off. If Shiva Sobe Tammuz, all the minor Tanesim, Tanis Esther, whatever the minor Tanesim, if fall on Shabbos, are pushed off. Even Tisha B'Av, if it's falling on Shabbos, it's pushed off. Interestingly, Megillah doesn't mention, the mission over there doesn't mention Asar B'Teves, which is undoubtedly also a minor fast day. So why is it not mentioned there? So the obvious answer is because he can't fall on Shabbos. But there might be another reason as well. Some Sofer goes, and it's Abu Dam, really, to mention, B'Shi Yosef quotes in Abu Dam, it says something absolutely unbelievable. Abu Dam says that, you know, the reason is because if Asar B'Teves would fall on Shabbos, if he could and would fall on Shabbos, we actually would fast Asar B'Teves on Shabbos, which is like Yom Kippur and like no other fast that we have. Tisha B'Av, if he falls on Shabbos, it's pushed off. We had it this year, didn't we? And the year before. Tisha B'Av, if he falls on Shabbos, we don't fast. It's pushed off. But Asar B'Teves, out of all Tanesim, if he falls on Shabbos, we fast. Why is that? So the Avodam brings, because the Pasuk says in Novi, in Yeshayah, it says, Be'etzem Ayoyim Azeh, it says that we fast, and the Pasuk describes the obligation to fast. It says, Be'etzem Ayoyim Azeh, which is translated as, Be'etzem Ayoyim Azeh?
On the day itself.
On the day itself, that's right, on the day itself. So it says, since it says, Be'etzem Ayoyim Azeh, on this day itself, so it must be that he can't push it on, can't push it off, can't have it earlier. He must be Be'etzem on that very day, Be'etzem Ayoyim Azeh. So because the Pasuk says these words and these wordings, therefore we find the obligation is to dafka, you can't push it off. It has to be dafka Asar B'Teves. Okay, that's very good and very fine. That gives a certain amount of explanation, but that itself requires a bit more understanding, because why is it that dafka this day, why dafka this day is it that you can't push off? Why dafka Asar B'Teves? Did you know that? Havodam says that if Asar B'Teves would fall on Shabbos, we wouldn't push it off. Fascinating. Why is that? So the Chassam Sofer says a very interesting pshat. Now we could. This is what to be discussed on this. But the main thought Chassam Sofer, I saw it today for the first time, I think. Chassam Sofer says that. Any suggestions? Why Asar B'Teves? I couldn't have thought of anything. Oh, Asar B'Teves. Out of all Tanesim, if we'd fall on Shabbos, we'd fast. Therefore, it's like a. It's the Spitz, 10th of the 10th.
Right?
No, I don't know. No, tell me, you tell me. Maybe there is a connection, I don't know.
The Hanukkah, then the spiritual victory over the Hashbonim, over the Yavanim, compared to the physical victory of by Purim, I suppose maybe the fact that even, it makes it almost like a comparison to Yom Kippur falling on Shabbos Shabbos and
because it's like the extreme, it's a zenith. It's like the spiritual.
Not from precious from Gashmas and Lamazet, but something like, along those lines.
Right, because you actually think that there's a connection to Hanukkah, because Hanukkah has reached a kind of spiritual climax, so that should be also. But that moves on and that continues. And in line with that, we go to Asar B'Teves. And he's also reached that, and therefore people show. Ah, yeah, it's very, very, it's something to think about. Chassam Sofer says, because all the Tanesim are focusing on Klal Yisrael's past, what happened. It's Asar B'Teves as an element as well of looking into the future. Of course, it's based on the destruction of the, it's not really the destruction of the Bibis, we fast on Asar B'Teves because it was a siege. Is that what it's called? Yeah, the siege? Yeah, S-I-E-G-E, the siege. The siege of the Yerushalayim, and only 1.5 years later on Tisha B'Av, that's when it was actually destroyed. But the siege was the beginning of the end, because the Yidden couldn't, that's what happened on Asar B'Teves. The Babylonians came, and they surrounded Yerushalayim. Yidden couldn't go in, couldn't go out, food couldn't be brought in, nothing could be put in, people starved to death, very, very literally, starved to death. And it was the beginning of the end. But at the same time, it's also focusing into the future, about rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash. We're not only crying about the past, we're also looking out for the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. And it says it's looking into the future. There's an element of looking into the future. And it's because of that, it's more choshev than other Tanaim, because of that, would fast, would fall on Shabbos. So says the Chassam Sofer. Because he says that we don't just cry about the destruction of the previous Beis HaMikdash, but it's also, he must be a rebuilding, a starting of refocusing, rebuilding of the next Beis HaMikdash. I don't know that knatch, but he says, because it must be that we don't, that, good question, I'm not sure.
Every day it's not rebuilt, it's like it's been destroyed.
Pardon?
Every day it's not rebuilt, it's like
it's destroyed. Yeah, but so it must be something about that, if there's that focus about the future of the, that's the Be'etzim HaYom HaZeh, he has to be the focus on the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. Yeah, every door that hasn't rebuilt it is as if we're destroying it. Okay, something to think about. I think it's a very powerful. That's Beis Yosef in the name of Avodam, that if the Aser B'Teves would fall on Shabbos, he would fast. Okay, Rabbi Yisai. We're starting tonight, Simon Tov Nun Aleph. Tov Nun Aleph is fascinating. I've heard people calling Simon Tov Nun Aleph and Simon Tov Nun Beis. They call it Yeredei Cotton. It's really amazing because the old halachas of Vilchas Pesach, which we've learned so far, okay, we started with Bdikas Chometz, we spoke about the destruction of the Chometz, we spoke about Bali Roe, Bali Motze. Simon Tov Nun Aleph is about the Kelim, about the Blias, how to kasher, Hagola, how to kasher the Kelim. Again, nowadays, we don't kasher so much, we kasher some, but not so much, but certainly the kitchen itself, the surfaces, and the and some of the Kelim, that we do kasher them, and all the halachas over here. But what is incredibly important and essential, and fundamental about this simon, these two simonim, is that we find all the concepts, and I really mean it, all the concepts that you've got to know in your idea about pasah b'chalav, meat and meat, taruvas, all the concepts which I find in greatest detail in your idea, I find in miniature over here. That means that you can really know all the concepts that you've got to know. I'm going to say to have a smicha, but I don't mean that literally. I mean in all the concepts that you need to know about in your idea are found in those halachas. As an example, klirishin, klisheni, klishlishi, keboiloi, kachpoiltoi, the halachas of tzli, bishul, all these main fundamental concepts are found of it, which is brilliant because it gives us really entry to a whole area of halacha. It's really fascinating. So we're going to be discussing this over the next two simonim, Be'ezer Hashem, and we'll be learning a lot about the Haggadah and Libun of the relevant kelim over Pesach. So let's start with Simon Tov Nun Aleph. Keder Shel Cheres, so Simon Tov Nun Aleph, Dine Haggadah as Kelim, it's called the Dinim, the Halach is relevant with Haggadah as Kelim, with the Haggadah of Kelim. Kader Shel Cheres, if you've got any pots or pans, saucepans, Shel Cheres are made out of earthenware. Shenishtamesh Bahem Chometz Kalashana, which is used for Chometz throughout the entire year. Afilo Oysam Sheoysimim Daiso, even those pots which are using for Daiso, which is
porridge.
Using for porridge, which means that it's really been used for real chometz, umine kamachem, and for other flour ingredients. So it's been really used heavily for chometz. The halacha is meshafshafin heitev. You clean them thoroughly. You rub them. You scrub them thoroughly. Beinyon, in a way sheloy ye chometz nikabohem, in a way that there is no recognizable chometz on them. Umuta la'ashoysam, and you're thereby, and then, allowed to keep them, muta la'ashoysam, allowed to keep them, la'acha Pesach, after Pesach, le'ishtamesh b'hem, to use them, la'acha Pesach, yeah, after Pesach, le'ishtamesh b'hem, to use them, bein b'minoi, whether it's for its own regular type, bein shaloi b'minoi, whether for a different type of food, so you're allowed to use them after Pesach, and you don't need to, smash it. You don't need to kasher it. And you don't even need to sell it. We learned those pots, that's what those three lines taught us. Those kelim, which are used heavily and frequently for chametz, all you need to do is wash them out. Clean them in a way there's no recognizable chametz. And then you can use them after Pesach again. They do not need to be smashed. That's what you said. Don't need to be sold, they can just be kept. And that's the next word of Shulchan Aruch. Umatznion bePesach, and you hide them, you keep them away on Pesach, b'mokum tznua, in a hidden place. Why? Why do you have to hide them? Yeah, not to use them. B'mokum tznua, in a hidden place. I don't think hidden is the right word over here. Actually, tznua, in a Discreet. Yeah, in a discreet, that's the word. Discreet in a slightly, yeah, on the side a bit. She'enu rogi leilich sham, that you don't normally end up going there. Kidei shelo yovoi leishtamesh. Remember Pesach, in order that you're not going to end up using them on Pesach. V'toiv, better yet, it is preferable. Lesogrom, to close them up. Becheda, in a room. V'latzniyem avteach, if you want to go very extreme and very radical, you're going to go a bit more, it's even more preferable to lock them up in a room. V'latzniyem avteach, and to hide away the key. You don't have to do that. But you can, if you want to go a bit further, you lock it up in a room and you keep away the key. All that is in order that you don't actually use them on Pesach. The Mishneh Berurah in Sif Katan Aleph says, "Kedei rois pots v'hua din similarly ka'orois shetashmi shana l'dei irui v'kli sheni." Also, other kelim, other vessels which are used as cups that you pour into v'kli sheni, you know, the kli sheni kind of item, kam ken dinoch, the same halach will apply there as well. So it doesn't make any difference what you're using the kli for exactly. Point being that it's a kli that you're using for chametz. What was the material of this pots? Pottery. Would it make, what does that seem to imply? Tafka pottery. Why are you saying that? Because Shulchan Aruch says, Kedei Shel Cheres. So it seems to imply that if the kli is made out of wood, or more common, metal, or perhaps even more, a bit less common, if it's made out of glass, it would sound like ceramic. Well, no, it is. If it would imply that if it's made out of metal, it would perhaps think that what? That is a problem. Would that make sense, though, Misvara? No. So that's the Shulchan Aruch Mishneh Berurah is teaching us. If cotton base. Shalcheres, v'hua din, and similarly, shalkelim she'enom shalcheres. The same would apply also with regards to metal pots and pans. Oh, very good. And that's what Mishnah was teaching us. So why does the Shulchan Aruch say earthenware if the same halacha would apply with regards to other kelim too? Because kelim which are made out of metal, what can you do with them? You can, metal kelim, you could kasha. Earthenware kelim, you cannot. So Shulchan Aruch is saying, of course, the same halacha would apply to metal pots and pans too. Just generally, when it comes to pots and pans which are made out of metal, you're likely to end up kashering them. But of course, if you don't kash them, same halacha would apply there as well. Gam ken efshav atakanta leshav shafon, you can just wash it off, clean it, lekaramel achar Pesach after Pesach. Elo, shdibbehoive, but that's the most common application of this halacha. To beshah kelim, kiven sheyesh lehem takana, ve'ein oisekein, hak megilo melablon kelikameis. So normally, if it's a metal kelim, normally the hagolo libun, as will be discussed later. I want to just digress for a minute, with regards to the mechira nowadays. What is it that we do nowadays with regards to those pots and pans? We said metal is metal kalium as well. Our pots and pans, the one that you use for spaghetti, right? You put in a cupboard. Do you need to do anything more than that? Oh, you're saying that we sell the mashmos. Now this is. I know what you. So there is people that are makbit. Some mechiras will also include the blias. The blias, which means the taste of the chametz. So the chametz, the pasta taste. If you cook pasta in your pot, then there will be, through the water will come the taste of the blias. The tam of the pasta will go into the pot. And that's what some mechiras will sell as well. Exactly. So what we're seeing from this Shulchan Aruch, the explicitly though, is that, yes, and we'll see soon that it's not just the chumrah. So if it's clean, as long as your pot is clean, you don't have to do that. Shulchan Aruch says explicitly, you do not, it says it clearly, you do not need to sell pots. You do not need to sell pots. You do not need to sell pots. Even the blias within it, you do not. Now, the mamoshes means that if you don't clean it well enough, and there's some long lokshen sticking onto the side of the pot, then you've got a problem. That you've got to sell, that you've got to get rid of. But if there's no mamoshes, now, even more than that, I want to add to what you are saying, is that the truth is that some say, okay, you might as well sell the bliyas in it. And I'm not saying Geshtetna's got a tshuva about it. You might as well sell the bliyas in the pot. You might as well sell it. But there's a big problem if you do that. You think there's not a, no, so this, yeah, very good. So you're saying there's no Kenyan, and therefore, so what are they actually selling?
I thought it's not the BS, in case there is something which is maybe.
Mamoshes?
Yeah.
Yes.
I think
green is selling. Yeah, so, so there is a concern though. If you start with the selling of the pots, what could that be a problem? Chaznish was really concerned about this. Exactly. Chaznish was very concerned. If you start fiddling around with the pots. So what we see clearly here is that pots do not need to be sold if they're clean. They do not need to be sold. I want to say, might as well do a chumrah just in case. So Chaznish was very concerned about this because he said, if you start selling the pots, then if you start taking them back, well, you're basically buying pots from a goy. What happens if you buy a pot from a goy? You need to tovel it. Chaznish says, absolutely clearly, if you sell the kelim to the goy because of blias, if the mechiras chometz includes the kelim, Chaznish insisted that you have to do tefilas kelim upon buying them back. Exactly. I totally agree with the Biosla. You cannot sell the blias, which is no mamoshes, and it's dosh loy leboilam, and it's something which the goy doesn't appreciate, and it's not buying, so you're going to sell him something which means nothing to him. If there's chometz, yes, that you have to take remove. Yep. No, you will not be in it. You're not matriach, yeah. Some people are makbid, that I want to point out, some people are makbid to cover it up. Part in line with what? With which word of the Shulchan Aruch? Of the matter of Latzniyah, put it away. So just to put the pots and the pans, to keep it in the cupboard, that's good, bad practice, that's not right.
Is this where the minhag of Haggadah's Kelim has been preserved and maintained even nowadays when everyone's got a Pesach set? Maybe this is the reason why.
Why?
You're kind of, you're messed up either way. The best thing to do is, as Rabbi says, is to toil the Beyonter.
To toil it. And then not to, and then use them or not use them.
Just the kashrut Pesach. You're home and dry. Whichever way you want to go.
As right? And then you have to, you don't, if you've kashrut them all, then you don't need to sell them. You don't need to worry about it. Yeah, but most people won't actually take the whole their pots and pans and start kashruting them. Yeah. And then, if you're actually selling your pots, you need to...
You're going to use them to trade for stuff then. You might toivel it.
Yes, so you're saying that more... Because the answer is... The answer to your very good question is as follows. Good question. What about Haggadah? Maybe you should do kashrut. The answer is as follows. If you ask him and you say, okay, did you use it? He says, no, I didn't use it. So if he didn't use it, he's got no monos. You can trust him that he didn't use it. You don't have to kashrut. But that will not make a difference with regard to tvilas kelim. Because to tovel it, that you need to do anyway. Because any keli that comes from a goy's ownership, you need to tovel it. But if Itaki used it, if he did use it, or if you're unsure where they used it, you'll have to kasher it. Yeah. Yeah, but that's unlikely. Yeah. Yeah, if you think he may have used it, you're going to have to kasher it. Yeah.
Why is selling them the little bit which might be there?
The blias, visible or not visible? Yeah.
Why is selling that? Why is that any worse than selling regular chometz? Why is it so sure there's nothing there? If you know that, there might be something there. If there is something there, you've now sold it. Just like all the other chometz you've sold.
You're saying that just like we are concerned everywhere else of some amoshas,
yeah,
you've got to be concerned there too about amoshas too. And in line with that, you should sell it.
So
yeah, Rabbi, what do you think about this story?
Why not? What have you got to do?
Yeah, so yeah, here. Yeah.
Yeah. Comments are maybe attached to the box.
But your pots are stuck away, and you're right there in the salt lake.
How can you make a transaction? You can't make a transaction.
Yeah, but I'm not. I got everything else. I got the things I'm selling. I'm saying.
How do you do that? How do you not then get into an issue of the guy having possession or ownership?
Because
of
he doesn't own the pots. He owns any comments.
He owns that long spaghetti which is sticking on to the bottom of the pot. That's what he owns. He doesn't own the pot.
It's not a proper sale. Then
it is because it's part of the rest of the sale. If I'm selling nothing else, you're right. But I'm selling whatever else I've got in my cupboard that I'm selling, my food and whatever.
A bit like how we sell a cupboard.
Yeah, that's what they say. So again, it won't be any connection to the actual pot. Yeah. The pot and the tzitzis is not salt. But the lakshon which is sticking onto the bottom, that's what we've sold to the goy. Lucky him. Yeah. So that. Okay. So, but lemaisa, I know that there is a bit of, there is poskim who are going more stringent. I don't know if it's a stringency. I truly believe it's a leniency, but there are poskim who like the idea of selling the pots, and some minority shtar mechira will actually sell the pots as well. And they get into trouble with Tfilas Kelim then. They want to get out of it in a novel, Chiddush Digger way, but it's not the Chamelech and it's not the Pashtas. But I think it makes a lot of sense to say that there is a real obligation to Tfilas Kelim. Chazanish said, what do you think about Brocha? If somebody does sell the pots, and you buy it back after...
You don't treat the wording in the Mechira contract such that... What?
Well, how will you treat it?
You can just say you can't use the Kelim until...
It doesn't make a difference. If you buy from any shop, from a goy shop, you buy a keli. If it doesn't make a difference if he's used it or not. If it comes from a goy ownership, then it's chiyuv tefilas keli. And it doesn't make a difference. Okay, Rabbi Yisrael, this is for this evening. Just to summarize, we learned that any kederes shel cheres, any keli which comes, any keli which was used during the year for chametz, even for dice, for porridge, for any other chametz, klirishin, klisheni, etc. We learn not just if it's made out of earthenware, but in fact also metal kelim. If they were used for chametz, the halacha is you clean them very thoroughly and you put it away in a hidden, discreet place. And thereby, you can just keep it over Pesach. After Pesach, you take it out and you can use it and it's perfectly in order. We said that some stringent people are makpid to even put it away in a room and lock it up and keep the lock hidden away. But that's a more stringent approach. It's a stringency. Mishnah Berurah taught us why is it that Shulchan Aruch uses the word klecheres, as opposed to other keli made out of different materials. And the answer is because klecheres is more commonly kept away, because generally speaking, metal kelim are kashered over Pesach. More on that in a future Shabbos Hashem. Wish you a very good evening.